Welcome to AJP Reno Podcast. I'm Associate Editor Anita Layton. I'm really excited to be talking with Dr. Gohar about a very interesting study on endothelin. In May, Dr. Gohar and her collaborators, Joshua Speed, Margazata Kastan, Chenghua Jing, and David Pollock published an article, Activation of Paranagic Receptors in the Renal Medulla Promotes Endothelin-Dependent Natriuresis in Male Rat. Dr. Gohar, could you briefly describe to us your findings?
Sure, and thanks for this opportunity to discuss our research work. In the current study, we studied the interaction between purinergic and endothelin signaling system within the renal medulla. Both renal endothelin and purinergic signaling systems are important regulators of sodium excretion within the renal medulla. And recently, a link between those two systems has been demonstrated in vitro. However, the in vivo interaction between those two critically important systems within the renal medulla has not been defined yet. So we tested the hypothesis that activation of renal medullary P2 receptors promotes endothelin-dependent natriuresis in male Sprague-Dowley rats. And our current findings show that blockade of purinergic P2 receptors within the renal medulla by intramedullary infusion of cerumen inhibits the natriuresis and the increase in endothelin-1 mRNA expression following medullary salt loading, suggesting that medullary sodium chloride loading activates P2 receptors, which would promote endothelin release or production, which in turn induces a natriuretic response through inhibition of the tubular reabsorption of sodium. And finally, we showed that blockade of both endothelin receptors, ETA and ETB receptors, inhibited the diuretic as well as the natriuretic response to the purinergic agonist UTP, pointing that endothelin-1 contributes to the diuretic and the natriuretic response to intramedullary activation of purinergic receptors.
Thank you. That's really interesting. So I have a couple of questions. In your study, you increased the medullary sodium chloride load by intramedullary infusion of hyperosmotic saline. So would you speculate that this infusion mimics the effect of a high-salt diet?
So increasing the medullary sodium chloride loading by intramedullary infusion of hyperosmotic saline that we used in our current study was not really used to mimic the effect of high salt diet, but we rather used this approach to stimulate the endothelin production as it is a kind of an established stimulus for ET1 production. As it has been shown previously both in vivo as well as in vitro, that hyperosmolality stimulates ET1 release or production. In general, the osmolality of the renal medulla is highly variable, and changes in the renal medullary osmolality in response to different stimuli has been studied in the literature, where the effect of water loading, diuretic, dehydration, and drinking salty water on medullary osmolality were previously reported. For example, it has been shown that long-term diuresis would reduce the medullary osmolality, and on the contrary, like drinking salty water for about a week has been reported to increase the medullary osmolality in rats. However, the direct effect of high salt diet on medullary sodium concentration is not yet completely clear.
So you also show that this infusion stimulates natriuresis and that is dependent on paranagic signaling. Can you tell me what is the mechanism and how does it relate to endothelin production?
Oh, that's a great question. So the signaling mechanism by which high medullary sodium chloride load is translated into an increase either in the production or the release of endothelin in vivo is not currently clear, where some studies have reported that increased flow stimulates endothelin-1. Other studies highlighted that osmolality stimulates endothelin-1 production. Additionally, a role for TonyBP or tenacity element binding protein in the regulation of endothelin-1 production is also postulated. Our current findings suggest that purinergic receptors play an important role as regulators of endothelin-1 production. And actually, this idea is originally based on a recent in vitro study revealing that purinergic receptors are required for the flow-stimulated ET1 release in inner medullary collecting duct cells. Our data show that blockade of medullary purinergic receptors P2 by cerumen inhibited the diuretic as well as the natriuretic response to increased medullary salt loading. And more importantly, cerumen also completely abolished the increase in inner medullary endothelin-1 mRNA expression following intramedullary infusion of hypertonic saline. Additionally, we showed that endothelin receptor antagonism block the diuretic response to the purinergic agonist UTP. And these data collectively provide an in vivo evidence that the activation of medullary P2 receptors is necessary for the demonstration of the endothelin-1-dependent natriuretic response.
So your studies review that blockade of both ETA and ETB receptors inhibited the diuretic and natriuretic effect of intramedullary infusion of UTP. Could you comment on the importance of this finding and why you chose to block both receptors?
Our results demonstrated that intramedullary infusion of UTP enhanced the urine flow as well as sodium excretion. And this is in line with the well-established role for the purinergic signaling in regulating sodium excretion, where P2 receptors have been shown in the literature to be expressed along the nephron, suppressing sodium transport in different sites. And importantly, our studies, as you just have pointed, revealed an inhibitory effect of the combined blockade of ETA and ETB receptors on this diuretic and natriuretic effect of UTP. And this provides an additional evidence for the interplay or the crosstalk between purinergic and endothelin system in controlling sodium excretion. And we decided to use this approach to block both endothelin receptors, given evidence that both ETA and ETB receptors work cooperatively to mediate the full diuretic and natriuretic response to intramedullary infusion of hyperosmotic selenium. Thus, both ETA and ETB receptors could participate in ETA-dependent natriuresis. And even though the predominant action is via ETB receptors, the use of selective ETB receptor antagonists has the unfortunate consequence of increasing ETA receptor activity, and thus that would make the interpretation of such results problematic.
So thank you. One last question. So I'm always very interested in sex differences of things, and I think a lot of our readers share that interest. So the experiments in your current study were conducted in male rats. Would you speculate the same interplay between P2 receptors and endothelin system in females?
So most of the studies in general focusing on renal endothelin and purinergic signaling, including our current study, is conducted in males. However, a number of studies have shown that renal endothelin 1 system differs between sexes. For example, binding studies demonstrated that male rats had significantly higher ETA receptor expression in inner medullary collecting ducts compared to females. Additionally, it has been shown that ETA receptor contributes to endothelin-dependent natriuresis only in females. So besides these sex differences in endothelin system, sex hormones has been also shown to affect the purinergic system, where, for example, purinergic receptor has been shown to regulate metabolism and adipogenesis in a sex-dependent manner. And additionally, sexual dimorphism in the expression of P2 receptors centrally and its interaction with estrogen receptors have been demonstrated. However, the influence of sex and sex steroids on the renal purinergic signaling system and its potential interaction with endothelin has not been explored yet. So taken together and taken with our interest in sex differences as yours, we decided to further explore the potential interplay between endothelin-1 and purinergic signaling on renal sodium excretory function in female rats. And this is a kind of a work in progress, as experiments are currently conducted in our lab as an extension of this current study. And preliminary data of these ongoing studies suggest that the natriuretic response to increased medullary salt loading in females does not involve purinergic receptor activation, which is completely contrary to the male findings. Thus, we plan to further study this interesting observation in order to improve our understanding about how renal and purinergic systems crosstalk within the renal medulla in the context of sex differences.
Great, thank you. So I really appreciate you talking with us today.
Thank you very much.